Thanks for listening to the Vertical Student Ministries podcast. We hope you are encouraged and challenged by what you hear.
Welcome back to our Vertical Leadership podcast. We are so glad that you have taken the time today to grow as a leader. We believe if the leaders are empowered, the entire organization will grow. Speaks volumes of you as a leader that you want to take 20, 25 minutes out of your day to invest in yourself. We have a very special guest with us today, another guest all the way from Sacramento, California, Pastor Abe Daniel. Welcome, Pastor Abe.
Hey, thank you, my friend. Thanks for the opportunity of being a part of this.
Yeah, of course. Really excited to have you with us today. Pastor Abe has been just a huge mentor in my life for really the past 7 years, I think, we've known each other.
It's about that.
Yeah, which is pretty crazy. But started out with Pastor Abe as an intern, and then really my first two ministry positions were under his leadership. And so just really excited to have you on here with us. Thanks for joining us.
Truly an honor, man. Never count these moments for granted, and proud and excited for what you guys are doing. So thanks for letting me be a part.
Yeah, for sure. Just a few questions here just to kind of open up, just to get the listeners just familiar with you and a little background on you. So as I said, you're located in Sacramento, California. What church are you currently at, and what position do you hold there?
So I'm currently at Trinity Life Center in Sacramento, California, serving here now for 4.5 years as a senior pastor. And so I'm truly grateful for the chance to be in this amazing place and fulfilling God's call.
That's awesome. So you've been there for 4.5 years. How long have you been in ministry, and what other positions have you held?
This is the 23rd year of ministry. Wow. 2 weeks actually, will be 23 years. And so started as a youth pastor and served in multiple roles, but youth pastor, a music pastor, senior associate pastor, interim senior pastor, back to a youth pastor, and then served as a district youth director for Northern California, Nevada for 7.5 years before coming to Trinity as a senior pastor. So definitely the majority was in youth ministry, but connected to the church for a few years now.
That's awesome. That's where our relationship started, obviously, was that district youth director role. I remember coming in your office and that interview for the internship. I was scared out of my mind.
Yeah, it was one of the most interesting interviews because you didn't speak much. It was, you're the only guy that brought like an interpreter with you. It was awesome. It was fun. Awesome.
No, I really appreciate just the relationship that we have, and really just a mentorship, you know, that we're still able to keep today. And it's really cool to see how God has set up Trinity just in the Sacramento area. And you know, I feel like Trinity is definitely one of those churches that have a regional impact. Not only are you guys obviously reaching your community, but other churches are looking to you and going to you, you know, as an example for that, which has been pretty cool to see.
We've been very humbled. In the 4.5 years that we've been here, we came into a church that was what I would call a church in crisis. And if we've had any success, it's not been because a group of us showed up. We really believe it's the favor of God. It's not false humility. It's really been, if there's been success, it's been because God has really gifted us and walked us through. Second to that, I think the humility of the team that we've assembled has been a game changer. And the fact that they have and maintain what I call a learning posture. None of us have felt that we've arrived, we've got this thing mastered. Yeah. We really feel that we're still at the beginning and we're learning. And that'll be till the day we die. So it's a fun season and very humbling to serve not just a city, but really a influential city within our nation as a state capital. But just honored to be able to do something of a unique piece in this puzzle.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, really excited again to have you on here. And I feel like, and I know you wouldn't say this about yourself, but if there is one thing that you've mastered, you know, I feel like it would definitely be that topic of leadership.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the word mastered. It's the thing that I think I would say I fail more. And so I'd rather focus on the things that I failed at, which help other leaders have success. So nice. Anyway, nice. You're very kind.
Of Yeah, but truly an honor to have you. You know, as Pastor Abe said, he was at the district office for 7 years. So traveling and doing leadership stuff was kind of what he was known for there. So again, just a huge honor. The topic that we have today for you guys is a leader's value of a friend. A leader's value of a friend. And so just kind of an opening question here, Pastor Abe, why do you feel like it's important for leaders to have friends? What is the role that a friend plays in a leader's life?
You know, I've lived my life, and specifically ministry life, realizing that the longer I'm in ministry, and the desire or the natural tendency is to do it myself. And I've learned that if I attempt to do this ministry thing alone, then I deserve to die alone, because that's not the purpose of ministry. Yeah. It's relationship. And so to do life, to do ministry with people, and it helps if you actually like the people, it really is, I believe, the healthiest and a true game changer as it relates to this leadership journey.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I feel like too, you know, for a leader specifically, it's almost hard to keep those relationships that are outside of ministry. It's hard to keep those friendships that, you know, maybe are, you know, a whole country apart, or even ones that are down the road, but not in your specific area of ministry or what you do. So what are some ways that you've maybe been intentional about keeping some of those friendships in your life?
Personally, I seek them out. If I desire a relationship, I'm not waiting for someone to call, to text, to send me a message. I'm the one that is in constant pursuit
of. That's good.
And that's something that I think really was a game changer for my life and my leadership journey in general, was I wasn't waiting. And I realized very fast that if I waited for the phone call, 9 out of 10 times it wasn't going to come.
It wasn't coming, yeah.
And I'm the one that became the guy to be in pursuit of. And that's been a healthy part of my life.
Yeah, that's awesome. And do you feel like it's been hard to keep that posture of pursuit? You know, now, and I feel like if for a younger leader, it's almost natural and easy to do that, you know, because, yeah, we need mentors, we need this. But, you know, you, as you've said, 23 years in ministry now and at this senior pastor position, you know, what is it that keeps the need for these friendships out in front of you to where you're still pursuing that?
I met with a pastor not long ago, and he left a church staff position, and he became a senior pastor. And he looked at me, and he said, hey, that's kind of what you did. You left a staff role, and you became a senior pastor. Tell me, what do you know now that you didn't know as a staff member? And I just kind of smiled. I wasn't ready for that question. And I just said, you know, I knew ministry was hard. I knew ministry was lonely. I didn't realize senior pastoring was harder and lonelier. Hmm. Right in that moment, he began to tear. And I just met the guy, so I didn't even know how am I supposed to even continue. I just came to eat lunch with the guy. So I realized we were going to have a deep moment. And he just looked at me and goes, you just summarized the last 8 months of my life.
Wow.
And so this journey, and you know, it's easy to talk about ministry because that's my current context, and it has been for over 20 years. But prior to this, I was in retail store management. And so I was a store manager for a retail store and did some other random things. But it's easy to think about it through the lens of ministry because that's what I do. But I'm convinced it's not limited to just pastoral ministry. You need multiple layers and multiple levels of relationships in your life if you're going to take this journey in leadership. And it's not just in leadership. It's Christian leadership.
Yeah,
it's founded upon biblical principle. And so that's how I've work to establish. I haven't perfected it, but I'm still in process of.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think we've all heard this phrase before, the higher up in leadership that you go, the fewer friends you have. You know, it's almost a discouraging phrase to hear, but it's also, you know, can be a reality. Why do you think that is? Why do you think the higher up you go, you know, as you just mentioned, you know, becoming a senior pastor, as that guy had talked about how lonely it has become, why do you think that is, that the higher up you go, the fewer friends you have?
I don't look at in business, you look at leadership as a ladder and you're trying to climb and gain success. Hmm. In Christian leadership, I look at it differently, that it's not the higher you go, but it's rather the further you grow.
That's good.
And if you're growing in the things of God, then there's greater things he's going to trust to your plate.
Yeah.
And in that, the more things God trusts to you, I think what I've learned is there are fewer people that actually comprehend what in the world that means.
Wow.
When I was a youth pastor, I used to have interns that worked with me. You refer to yourself as an intern. I never saw you as an intern. I saw you as team members. However, the interns that I had in a local church context, I remember they would come, and when they would come from within our own youth ministry, they'd be seniors that had graduated, and then all of a sudden the next year or at the end of that summer, they were now an intern. Their friends would look at them and say, "You've changed. Why is it that we used to be able to hang out then, and now 2 months has gone by, and now we have nothing in common?"
Yeah.
And nothing about them physically had changed, but there was a set apart, which is scriptural.
That's good.
There was a moment in which they were set apart and God trusted more to their plate. And it's not that they were better than those that were not doing that. It's just God had trusted more to them and they no longer had the same things in common that they did 3 months ago.
Wow.
And I've looked at that in my own life and realized the more God has trusted to me, the fewer people that I get to surround myself with understand the journey that I'm on.
Yeah, that's good.
One of the things that I've also purposely done is making sure that I also have people that are older than me that I call friends, because my peers or those younger than me most likely haven't done it.
Right.
But those that are older most likely have. And it's been a game changer because then they become some of the top people that I see and search out for mentorship, for counsel, for advice, for guidance and direction. So
yeah, that's awesome. And I feel like, you know, in life we have almost different levels of friendship, not necessarily better or worse friends, but just maybe they have a different spot in your life, you know. And I know for me, you know, I have friends that I know when I go to them, I'm going to get this from them, right? You know, when I go to this friend, it's going to be different than when I go to that friend. Can you help us break down kind of those different levels of friendships that we have in our life?
This is a word. That word friend alone is probably one of the most misused or abused words right now based upon social media. I began to think about the way that the word friend has morphed.
Yeah.
High school, back in the old days, there were these things called yearbooks. And people would sign them at the end of the year. And, you know, they would write your friend, and then they'd sign keep in touch. I haven't spoken to any of those people since I graduated high school or junior high.
Right.
And yet they at that moment in time valued each other. We valued each other as friends. You fast forward to present day with social media, and the whole scope of a friend request is something that has, I think, changed the definition of that word friend. Social media today, I looked at it when I joined social media, it was more of a contest to me than a tool, because I wanted to see how many friends I could collect.
That's awesome.
I didn't know that it was not for that, but that's how I started. And again, it's just that word has evolved so much.
Yeah.
I think about all of that through the filter of God's word. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 20 says, "The poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends." Proverbs 17:17, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Mm. Proverbs 18:24, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer to a brother than a brother." I look at those and I realize there's something deep, there's something vital to that scope and word friend.
Yeah.
I've had people in my life that I thought were some of my closest friends, and I learned very fast that we were on two different playing fields, but it was seasons that brought us together. You asked the word about the levels of friendships. I didn't understand that until a few years ago before I had come to Trinity. We had just finished a leadership conference. In fact, I think you were there. We had just had an amazing time. I had flown in literally international leadership communicators from all over the world that were at this place. And I remember on the Thursday night, I told all of our guests, hey, meet me at the elevator and we'll ride down together and we'll get in my car and we'll go to dinner. And when we got to the lobby, there were over 300 leaders in that lobby. And it took us well over 20 minutes to get the 50 to 75 feet from the elevator door to the parking lot because of the entourage that was with me. And in that moment, I'll be blunt and say, man, I felt like I was on top of the world.
Yeah.
This was a great moment. Look at all this. Look at these people.
Look at all those friends.
Friends.
Yeah.
Exactly. 24 hours later, I had an entourage with me, and we got into that same elevator, and we hit that same lobby, and it was the same group of people. But I walked from the elevator door all the way to my car. They waved at me randomly, but not once was I stopped as I was the night before. And the only difference was the entourage that was with me was my family. It was my wife and my three boys.
Wow.
I remember getting into the car, just kind of staring, going, you know what? Wow, that was different. I wasn't offended. I wasn't hurt. There's just this reality of, wow, okay. I remember finishing that night and had an awesome time with my family. And came back and we finished our event and it was a phenomenal time. But it began this journey of evaluating who are the people that I've allowed closest to my life. 9 months later, I'm in a setting of leadership development and there was an author, his name is Gordon McDonald, leadership author, pastor, president of a university many years back. And he had just finished speaking on this word community. My boss, our district superintendent, said, hey, I want you to come over and we're all going to kind of debrief everything that we've just learned today. And upon doing so, he shared a couple things. And then our pastor, our superintendent, looked at me and goes, hey, I want you guys to go around the room and tell us what you learned. Abe, you start. And I'm embarrassed because this guy's a, you know, New York Times bestseller. I don't know what to say. I just looked and I said, you know, sir, what you shared about community is really what I've been going through the last 9 months. I looked at all the team members that were there and these were my peers. And I said, I'm realizing now that the title I have has opened up a lot of different relationships with me. Hmm. But the definition of these relationships are contingent upon the level I allow them to hold.
Wow.
The three levels that I've identified, and I just kind of spit it out. And I said, there are three things. I'm coming up with three things because I'm a pastor and that's what we do. And all three of them start with the letter A. There are acquaintances, there are associates, and there are allies. Hmm. And I said, the acquaintance is a person that knows me, knows of me. I may or may not know them, but I have zero intimacy with them as far as communion. No context of who they are or who I am.
Right.
But they know of me, and I may know of them, but that's a very distant one.
That's a Facebook friend.
Exactly. The second level would be an associate, and that's a person that's associated with me based upon my current season of life. But the day that that current season comes to an end, the relationship is guaranteed to change. Mm. And the final one is what I would call an ally. And the ally is the one that has been with me through the thick and thin, doesn't give a rip about my title, doesn't give a rip about my accomplishments or where I've just been or what I've just finished. But they're the ones that'll be with me. They were with me before, and they'll be with me after.
Yeah.
And that's less than one hand worth wow. of people that I can count in my life that fill and fit that void. And it was just a quick thing that just had come to me, and I said it out loud in that group, and that author literally puts his hand on my shoulder and goes, this young man has a book. Well, this guy was a New York Times bestseller, and I went, hey, will you write the foreword? help a guy out. And really, that's kind of where it ended, but then it became a season in which God was beginning to prepare me, because a year less than a year later, probably about 7 months later, I was then making transition. And God gave that to me to begin to put into place the safeguards for my own heart so that it would not be a tragic transition where I felt loss, but it would be a natural transition where I continued to grow in the things that he had placed in my life.
Yeah, that's good. And I think, I mean, what are, because, you know, you talk about the associate, which is the second one, and then the ally, which is the last one. And while you hold that position, that values the associate, right? That's when they're your friend. As you talked about the 300 that left with you because you had these big guest speakers with you.
Yeah.
You know, so how in a season where you do have a title or you do have a position, how do you differentiate between those two? How do you know, man, these ones are actually here because they care about me? Or, you know, because you were in that position for 7 years. So that's 7 years of people that could potentially be just trying to milk your title.
Sure.
You know, and how do you find the balance between that and guard yourself from that?
I think a lot of it comes into your personal health, walking into those kind of moments. My title did not define my life.
That's good.
I had the privilege of bringing definition to my title. You told me that there are adult leaders, student leaders, and even some pastors that are a part of this podcast.
Yeah.
And I think that often in any of those, regardless of what title your listeners have right now, the unhealthy people find the greatest validation in their title.
Wow.
That's where they find security. The healthiest have said, my title does not define me. I get to define this title. And I think that was my revelation of this title is temporary. It's not the rest of my life. And so if this is not the rest of my life, I'm okay with this relationship being a seasonal connection.
Wow.
Here's the thing. I know even right now, if I picked up the phone and called any of those leaders that I would have said, hey, I was associated with them and said, hey, I have a need. 9 out of 10 of them would actually jump just because of relationship.
Yeah.
So it's not that I don't believe that it was superficial.
Yeah.
If I thought it was, man, I had already failed because that's not giving them the benefit of doubt. I believe that the majority of my relationships were in fact deep. The difference is the day that my title changed, my relationship changed.
Yeah.
Social media has changed the whole world today because in the old days, there wasn't something that gave me the ability of carrying past relationships with me. Today, if I leave a position, if I leave a role, I still have the connection points to them and I'm physically carrying, it's almost like baggage. I'm carrying my past every single place.
Wow.
The reality is the average human does not have the bandwidth to actually support all of those relationships on an intimate level. Those that get in trouble with friendships or values of friendships are the ones that attempt to maintain the exact same attitude and keep the same posture throughout the remainder of their life, realizing everything has changed.
Yeah, that's good. And it kind of lets you know, too, that there's different seasons in your life where God will bring different people in your life. You know, and it's okay to have those seasonal friends. You know, and there's obviously those ones that are lifelong that are going to be there. You know, but I think it's to not be angry when you know, oh, this is a seasonal friend. You know, this is someone that's just here because of my title or whatever. But just to embrace that, you know, and allow that to be God's placing these people in your life for a season. You know, and that's okay. That's not a bad thing.
I pause and say, I've never introduced myself to an individual and said, hey, I'd like you to be my friend just for this period of time.
Seasonal. Can you seasonally
be? Yeah. I promise you, if you attempt leadership in that fashion, you're going to have more issues than we're right now. But I think on the other side, if you take this and realize this person may never be the ally, but I want to invest into them and vice versa, they may even have something to give. I don't come into relationships with what I get out of it. I walk in with the attitude of what I can give to it.
Yeah.
And I think if I get to receive, I feel blessed. But if I don't have the anticipation, I also feel healthy because I'm drawing my health and security not from these seasonal connection points or those that are associated with me based on my title, but rather based upon the allies that God has trusted to my life. For me, I'll just pause and say, that starts with my wife.
Yeah.
And no one else gets that place except her. And people who battle in their marriage are the ones that have allowed another person or thing to take the place of that spouse's role as your top ally. There are some that may not be married. My first 6 years of pastoral ministry, I was single and trying to figure this whole ministry thing out. I would tell you that don't wait for marriage to then define your boundaries. Start now. Establish your boundaries this very day in protection of your future spouse to make sure that you have that place for them. They're not replacing anything, but you've already carved it out. Those are just some of the ways that we began.
Yeah, that's good. That's awesome. Well, again, thank you so much. This has just been, it's practical, you know, and I love that because it really can hit regardless of where you're at in leadership. You know, if you're a volunteer, if you're staff, if you're paid staff, if you're a lead pastor, associate pastor, it really just hits every level of leadership that you're at. So we appreciate that. That's awesome.
Grateful. Hey, we're closing our time down right now, right?
Yeah.
Is this the part where we start telling stories about you?
No, that's probably once we stop recording is probably the best time to do that, I would assume. Or I can just tell you that we're not recording any longer and then you can...
Yeah, it's fun. let me close out and first of all, again, say thanks for letting me be a part. Thanks for any chance that I get to spend with any leader is a joy. One of the things that I'll just say just in these last few moments is for about 4 years, I had the privilege of having Pastor John Zick ride shotgun with me throughout the majority of the state of California and parts of the entire West Coast. And I've watched some of the things we're talking about be lived out in his life. And he is one of the few guys that I can say was maybe an acquaintance at the beginning, was definitely an associate, but he's the lifelong friend. And I'm blessed by your role in my life as well. And so thankful for the chance to even continue to be a part, even remotely today.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that. Thanks, Pastor Abe.
Thank you, man.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, listeners, for joining us and taking the time to grow as a leader. As we said at the beginning, we believe if the leaders are empowered, the entire organization will grow. Thank you, Pastor Abe, for your time. We appreciate it. We value it. We'll definitely have to have you back on here sometime soon.
For stories. I'm looking forward to it.
No stories. All right. Thanks a lot. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks again for taking time to grow as leaders. We are looking forward as we continue to build our culture in student ministries.